let's remember about Israel. There was a condition they had to meet. If they weren't baptized, the Word of God says they would be damned. Okay? It wasn't enough to say that I was baptized by the Holy Spirit. Because they weren't. They were baptized by water for what? We talked about it last week. For the remission of sins. We were baptized by the Holy Spirit for what? For our salvation. To be redeemed. Correct? And so we got to remember, baptism is important, but we were baptized into the death. That means when Christ took all your flesh, all your sins of the flesh, and He buried them. Forgiven, forgotten, over. Forgiveness is not the issue. Sins are not the issue. The issue is trusting in what Christ did, baptizing, right? Their baptism was by submersion of water for the remission of sins. Why? Because their sins went into remission. Christ hadn't died on the cross, right? So just like cancer can go into remission, guess what? The cancer is always there, isn't it? It just goes into remission, right? But our sins were forgiven. They didn't go into remission. Christ doesn't have to die on the cross again in any way. And the same thing with circumcision. It was appointed for them to meet the condition that if you were of Israel and with as the men, you were to be circumcised. Well, guess what? When we trusted in what Christ did at the cross, we were circumcised, but we were circumcised without hands. It was a spiritual circumcision. The things of this world today with Israel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Old Testament, everything is about a physical kingdom coming to a physical earth, and you'll never read where they are looking to go to heaven. It's never talked about going to heaven. In Paul's epistles, of course, when Christ died for us on the cross, and we were given the dispensation of the grace of God, that He died for us, He forgave us of our sins, we believe that He was dead, buried, and resurrected, we will also be resurrected with Him. And we don't worry about the physical, we are in the issue of the spiritual, and it's all written in Paul's letters. And he talks about looking towards where? Heaven. But everybody says everything in this book is all the same. It's all our mail. We put it all together. Well, you can't do it. If God Himself separates it, we need to separate the Scriptures so we know we have an understanding. That's why we trust and we read Paul's letters. Because he was not a whit behind the chiefest apostles, is what he says in 2 Corinthians. And he says here in verse 10, look. He says, and ye are complete in Him. He's writing to those that are saved, that have trusted in what Christ did at the cross and nothing else. He says, you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised. Well, that was crazy to Gentiles because their issue wasn't to be circumcised. And it was a physical circumcision that gave Israel of who they were. In fact, when they left Egypt, and they followed Moses out of Egypt, guess what? There were many Gentile people who believed that that God was their God and that He was the real true God. And you know what? They said, we're going with you. And a lot of them out of Egypt left and went with this new nation, Israel. Because Israel was a new nation this time. Guess what those men had to do? He told Moses to take them up the hill and circumcise all the males. The only way they could be as Israel is if they followed the laws of Israel. And so their marking for Israel was to be circumcised. In the same manner, it was to be baptized with water too. Okay? And so he says here, Paul goes, in whom also, verse 11, look at this. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Is that a fleshly circumcision? That is a spiritual circumcision. The issue today for your salvation doesn't deal with what you do physically. It deals with what Christ did and what you trust in spiritually. That's why he says we're a new man. What was the issue with Israel? You read it time and time again. They were going to be born again, right? Were they born again? They will be in the times of refreshing. But what does Paul say we are? A new creature. We're not born again. We become, all things become new. When we trust in what Christ did at the cross,
all things become new. We're circumcised, how? We're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That's about as spiritual as you can get, ain't it? Was Israel circumcised that way in times past? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And we read on. Look, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Christ circumcised us when He took your flesh, your sins, to the grave. What's the issue today? Guarantee all across America, you know what the conversation is at the end of the service? That you need to come up to the altar and get forgiveness for your sins. Christ took care of that at the cross.
Amen.
And when you trusted what He did at the cross, then your sins are not the issue anymore. He took care of it. How can you get away from that? There's no way. Look what Paul says in verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism. You know what your baptism was? It was taking your dirty, filthy, rotten flesh and mine and burying it. Now, we still have this earth suit on. I still mess up every day. I know that's hard for you to believe, but I do. Okay? I do it every day. But it has nothing to do with my salvation. Now, a lot of people will then say, well, you're crazy, man. You can go out and do everything you want to do. They're absolutely right. But you know what? If He says that I'm a new man and I start seeing this truth, I don't have the desire to do those things. If I walk in the Spirit and don't start trusting again in the things of the flesh. See, the issue with us today is we have a constant warfare going on. We either trust in the flesh and we start desiring those things of the flesh, or we trust in the Spirit and we walk after the Spirit. That's it. The issue today is the battle starts in the mind. Let me tell you something. This would be an awful thing to say, whether you like it or not. The gunman that walked in the theater this week, if he trusted in Christ as his personal Savior years back, you know what? He's as saved can be. I'm sorry. Physically, we think, are you crazy? Or are you, let me tell you something. Yeah. If Hitler trusted Christ as his personal Savior, was his sin sending him to hell? Absolutely not. He's as saved can be. I know we don't want to think that way, and we wish the worst on that. I told somebody, hey, if I'd had a gun, I said I thought he was going to shoot me, and I'd have killed the guy. Mm-hmm. Like it or not.
Yeah.
But the issue is, those are physical things. The issue today for your salvation is what you trust in. That man could have been saved and started trusting again in the flesh, and walking after the flesh, and desiring the things of the flesh. Am I right?
Yeah.
Because the issue today is Christ has forgiven us our sins. Let me tell you what. You know what the saddest thing in the world is? I heard Steve talk about his aunt who all her life, very religious, all her life, man, this was so consumed with following the law. He says he remembers her down the hallway dying and knowing if she did not trust Christ as her personal Savior and she trusted in the things that she did to be saved, she is as lost as a goose. But he said he talked about the other man that sits in the honky-tonk or the bar and he's an alcoholic and he struggles with alcoholism and he drinks and drinks and drinks and drinks until he dies that way from cirrhosis of the liver or whatever. But let me tell you something. When he was asked, hey, how do you know you're saved? If he said, I trusted what Christ did at the cross for my salvation, let me tell you something. He's as saved as can be. Because the issue isn't what you do. The issue is what you trust in. And when you trust that Christ has died for your sins, was dead, buried, and resurrected the third day, when you trust that what He did alone, nothing of yourself, when you count that what He did was enough, you count on that as your salvation. Anything you count on yourself is worthless. We trust in those things, the circumcision made without hands. That your flesh was baptized in was taken to the ground and baptized. Romans chapter 6 verse 1 talks about it. But look what it says. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. What does that do? Does that put any works on yourself? If you were baptized into your death and risen with Him, okay,
and it was through the operation of God, what do you think you did to save yourself? Nothing. It was the operation of God. The faith. You know who was faithful? Not you. God was faithful. Christ, that's why, if you did anything about it, could you glory in yourself? You could. If you did anything about it, you could sit behind the pulpit and say, let me tell you what I did to receive my salvation. By the way, that's what happens today. And then the servant said, let me tell you what you need to do. Does any of the glory go to Christ? No, it's Christ plus you. The issue is Christ wants all the glory to go to Him for what He did. Because He was faithful and you're not. You can't be. And you can be faithful in time, but the only reason you're faithful is because it's Christ in you. You're the new man. You're the new man.
Galatians chapter 2 says, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. Go to Galatians chapter 2 real quick. There's no sense in, we need to look at this. Because the next verse is just as important. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20. The one thing about it, had I sat in that same place, if I would have been shot and killed, I have such a peace of knowing where I would be. Mm-hmm. That is such a peace today, too. Mm-hmm. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Why? Because our flesh is baptized, and right? Sent to the ground. He says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know what makes us faithful? Christ living in us. Trusting in the Spirit, not in yourself. Now look what he says. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by how faithful I was. No. It says, I live by the faith of Christ. By the faith of the Son of God. The only thing you live that is living in you is the faith of the Son of God. And if you have not trusted in Christ and what He did alone, okay, you do not live. You're as good as a dead man. Amen?
Amen.
Because the faith by which you live is by the faith of the Son of God. He was faithful to have you live. Because all your sins, all your flesh will be burnt up one day. Right? And he says, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you notice there's nothing about what you've done in there? Now look what the next verse says, because the issue in the letter to the Galatians that Paul wrote to was there were these people who had trusted in what Christ did. They were afar off at one time, had no hope. Paul comes in with the message of what Christ had done. They trusted in it. And then Judaism came right through there and they said, well, that's fine, but you need to do this. And you need to be circumcised. And you need to follow the law of Moses. And Paul says, man, you guys are crazy. You're following another gospel. You're following what they used to do here before Christ was crucified. And even after Christ was crucified, you started following the Jewish law again. Paul says, all things are new. You're a new man. You've been circumcised by the circumcision without hands. You've been baptized in the death and you've been resurrected when you trust in what Christ did. Right? And if you do anything, if you trust anything else of yourselves, you bring glory upon yourself. And look what the next verse says in 21. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You know what you do when you add what you've done? You frustrate the grace of God. Is there grace and works?
No.
If you do anything at all, is there any grace? Because grace is you doing nothing at all. We got the grace of God by the faith of the Son of God. And Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ What did he do? He is dead in vain. You know what you do anytime you add what you've done to be saved? You shadow the cross every time. Every time you add something you do, you've missed it. The issue is we're all sinners. Just like the gunman, we're all guilty before God. Every one of us have a proclivity to be able to be just as evil as that man was. Every one of us have that within our flesh. Like it or not, we do. Like it or not, we have that proclivity. Let me tell you something. The grace of God could have saved him just as it saves you. None of us deserve it, and we all can have it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, did we read anything about coming to the altar for forgiveness of sins?
No.
Just taking care of the cross. If you make that the issue that you've done something, then Christ died in vain. If we made forgiveness of sins, we'd have to put them on the cross every day. Every day. Because I sin every single day. Right? That's the issue. But the interesting about this passage in Colossians chapter 2 and 10, 2, 10 and 11 and 12, is there's this baptism and this circumcision that Paul brings out, and he's talking to Gentile people. Right? Israel, of course, had a physical circumcision. Right? Paul brings about here that we have a spiritual circumcision. In the same manner, Israel had a physical baptism. Paul brings about that we have a spiritual baptism. Do you see anything in those three verses that are physical for you? Let's look at it one more time. I don't mean to harp on these three verses, but it clearly separates what people think you have to do today, and you don't have to do any of it, but trust in what Christ did. Look at the verse 10 through 12. Paul says, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead." He didn't only take the physicality away. He made sure that you understood the spiritual is the most important thing, or it's the only important thing. There's nothing physical that you need to do here. Right? Nothing at all. And so, if it is important in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it is important in the Old Testament, and it's not important in Paul's letters, there's got to be somewhere in this Word where we need to divide it rightly, or there's contradiction after contradiction. That's why you have to separate Paul's letters. That's why 2 Timothy chapter 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman, needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth."
Mm-hmm.
If you don't rightly divide the word, then you'll wrongly divide it. And that's why there are people today behind beautiful pulpits and fancy suits and collecting your money because they tell you you need to give, and they're telling you you need to come to the altar, and they're telling you you need to be baptized, you need to join the church, you need to do all these things. And you get your list down, and let me tell you something, if you trust in that, you're no more saved than anybody else that's not saved. The issue is you trust in what Christ did and that alone, because He did it all. When you trust in what He did at the cross, then you're saved. That's the issue. But today, we're in a world that is full of deception. But in the same manner, Paul brings about these physical things that happened to Israel, and he's going to show you the spiritual things in another way. Today I want to talk about spiritual circumcision for a little bit. Go to Romans chapter 2, verse 29. Romans 2:29. I want to show you the differences in what we have in spiritual circumcision compared to what Israel had in physical circumcision. Romans 2:29. Paul here is referring to a Jew. In Romans 2:29, the Word of God says, "But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Do you see how this divides up? Paul says, "But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart." There's nothing physical there, is there? It's spiritual. Look what it says. "And circumcision is that of the heart." What's it say next? "In the spirit." Notice the next. "And not in the letter." Well, what was in the letter in the Old Testament? They had to be circumcised, right? It was physical. He says, "And not in the letter." Why? Because if it's in the letter, you know what the Israelite got to do? "I've been circumcised." Right? He brings glory upon himself. Because he followed the law. He followed the letter. And look what he says. He says here, "And not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God." See, the glory goes to God when it's grace and grace alone. You give glory to man, then you shadow what Christ did. Right? So we see here that there is a circumcision, okay, that is associated with the body of Christ that is not a physical circumcision. Right? We can see by looking at these scriptures that there is a circumcision for the body of Christ. By the way, that's who we are when you trust in what Christ did at the cross. When you are saved by the grace of God, you become part of the body of Christ. Right? Not a nation, but a body. And there is a circumcision that is spiritual, that is associated with the body of Christ. It's not physical at all, because God did it all. Go to Philippians 3:3. What I love about this is your writer, Paul, is a Jew of the Jews. Right? By the way, Paul had been physically circumcised. So Paul, I believe, knew exactly what he was talking about, and he knew the heritage and what an Israelite had to go through, so he's able to write about both. I think that's very neat that we're getting it from Paul. And look what he says in 3:3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." How much more clear do you have to do? Now, Paul is a Jew. Paul has been physically circumcised. And look what is said here. Okay? Now, Paul had a physical circumcision. He was that of a Jew, but also notice he put no confidence in the physical. His confidence was in the Lord Jesus Christ. He put no confidence in the flesh, neither should we. A person should never put confidence in anything he has done, as though it completes his salvation. Baptism or circumcision, or even part of the religious system.
Yeah.
If it's a physical thing, it has nothing to do with your salvation. We should only put confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Think about all the confidence people put in themselves today. Just think about it. You apply for a job, what do you put? You don't show all your weaknesses, right? You show what you've done. I mean, it's hard to grasp this. Why? Because we live in a physical world that the better you are, the more you get. It's so opposite when it comes to the spiritual side that sometimes when we go into the religious system as we grow up in church, guess what? The better the person is that's sitting in the pulpit, you know what they do? They move up the same ladder. They become a choir director. They become an usher. Or they can drive the church van. Or they give more. So they're more religious. So they're more closer to God because they're blessed more. Well, let me tell you something. They're so deceived because they put confidence in that they were really, really a good person. Let me tell you what, a good person that's not saved will go to hell. A good person a lot of times puts confidence in what they've accomplished. And they forget about what Christ accomplished for you. I mean, you see the difference? That today we grow up in a society that teaches people you got to do better. You got, and don't get me wrong, we should try to do. There's nothing wrong with trying to live right and do right. We should do that. But it has nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation has everything to do with what Christ did. That's why I have a peace that if whatever happens to me, it has nothing to do with my salvation. We can rejoice in this stuff. You know it? I mean, a person should never put confidence in anything he has done. We should only put confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Look at what Paul says to the Galatian assemblies, okay? Just look what he says to them. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and look at verse 1. You know what it does when we finally feel like, I don't have to worry about what all I've done for my life in order to be saved. If you go to Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace." You know what happens when you trust in your baptism? Are you joining the church? Are you giving more money? You know what happens when you put your what you why you should be able to be the best? When you've got your list and all you've done all your life and how good you've been and how faithful you've done and the things you've done, you know what it says? Christ shall profit you nothing. And if you count on those things that you've done, guess what? It causes you to fall from grace. Because when you look at everything you've done, you don't see the grace anymore. You look at what you've done. I mean, think about it. He says in verse 5, "For we through the," look at the word, "Spirit, wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." So it's clear here, circumcision, we can say, availeth nothing, right? Only faith which worketh by love. Now, how can this be the same? Because circumcision for Israel availed much in times past. I want you to look at the difference in today and the grace of Christ and where people say that today in churches that you're the new Israel. Well, let me show you what Israel had to go through. Look at the circumcision in the physical sense that we, the body of Christ, have in a spiritual sense. Okay? Go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. And we'll finish this next week because I want to show you the difference. But I want you to see the difference in what Paul has said and how it used to be and why you need to divide the word rightly. In Genesis 17:11, three verses. Genesis 17:11, it says, "And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or brought or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant." What's he telling Abraham here? Is it Moses? Sorry about this. What's he telling him here? It's the issue that anybody in your family that is a man child has to be circumcised. And if they're a stranger, if you bring them in to be a servant, guess what that man has to be?
circumcised or he'll be damned. Okay? Do you hear Paul say that at all to us? Mm-hmm. Paul says circumcision availeth what?
Nothing.
Are they both right? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. One was before the Apostle Paul was saved. That's exactly what Israel had to go through. Because of the grace of God, though, guess what? Circumcision today is circumcised without hands when you trust that what Christ did at the cross was enough. Counting it for your salvation. Isn't that awesome? That's why the same difference in, if you study Peter in Acts chapter 2, after Christ was crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected, you know what Israel says? What do we got to do? Peter says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. But first, Peter says, you've killed this man. You've crucified him. What do we do? And he starts giving them all this list of stuff they have to do in Acts chapter 2, 38. But you know what Paul says? Peter says, you killed him. You know what Paul says? He died for you. Which one is it? Mm-hmm. See, we live in the dispensation of the grace of God today to where I don't have anything to hand you in order for you to be saved that you have to accomplish. The only thing I can hand you this morning is that what Christ did at the cross was enough. Trust in the finished work. It's enough. Anything you add to it shadows it. You don't have to confess your sins. You don't have to ask for forgiveness. You don't have to be baptized, circumcised. You don't have to join the choir. You don't have to join the church. Today, we are saved by grace and grace alone. And we rejoice in that. We rejoice in that fact. Does that mean we should just do anything we want? Well, no, we should live a life that is pleasing to God. Because we don't want to pervert, but we also need to share with others, quit working so hard. And the way you can do that is if you become as close to Christ, walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh. So it is important that we live right. But the things that went on with Israel are not the things that go on with us today. And the rules and regulations today, we rejoice in that we don't have to follow them. Because you know what those rules did? It showed Israel they're sinners. It didn't save them. It showed them they were sinners. That's what it did. It showed the glory of God. That's why Israel failed. This morning, if you've not trusted in what Christ did at the cross for your salvation, that alone, I encourage you to trust in that. Scripture alone should have showed you that. The Apostle Paul says, in closing, it's the last verse I'll read, but I think it's important for us to see it over and over again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Chapter 15, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which means the good news, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. You know, those that believe in vain are those that pick up the law after they're saved and start doing a bunch of works. Verse 3 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died. That's past. That means it's not Christ is dying. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul gives no rules and regulations and no law. He says, by which you're saved unless you've believed in vain. How that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried, dead, and resurrected the third day according to the Scriptures. You know why I'm saved? Because I count on what Christ did and nothing that I've done. If I start counting what I did, I can show you as many failures as I can show you successes. So we can rejoice in the fact that we don't trust in this physical body. We trust in what Christ did. Amen? Amen. Trust in that.